Our New Testament lesson lectionary takes us to Matthew 13 again, and we are reading at verse 31. Last week was on the parable of the NIV, the parable of the weeds, traditionally known as the parable of the tares, or the wheat and the tares, and we're at verse 24. Excuse me. Or verse 31. Hear God's word. Jesus told them another parable. Kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. Kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mix into a large amount of flour till it worked all through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So it was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. We're going to go down to 44 because we had this next section in last week's sermon. That was the explanation of Jesus for that parable. At verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had, bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, fishermen pulled it up on the shore. And then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. That's far the reading from God's holy word. I invite you to turn back in the scriptures to Matthew 13, verse 31. And in Matthew 13, there are several parables that we were with the parable of the wheat and the tares last week, and ahead of that, the parable of the sower. And now we have a series of short little parables. And the title of the sermon today is Look at the Kingdom of God the Way Christ Teaches Us. And let's have prayer. Lord God, we thank you that we have not been left out as we too want to learn what Christ would have us know for an abundant life. And we pray, Lord, that we would be hungering and thirsting now for righteousness from Jesus. We pray that he would feed us as a shepherd would feed the flock. And that while he's blessing others, that he would not pass us by. Lord, we ask that the preaching day would be faithful, lifting up the Lord Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you would be our rock and our redeemer, our only comfort in life and in death, to know that we belong to our faithful Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. When we consider the value of things, economists from the 1800s talked about the value of water compared to the value of diamonds. And we might ask the question, what is the value of water? Well, today, if you were going to buy a glass of water, maybe you're going to buy this glass of water, you wouldn't give very much for it, maybe not even a few pennies, especially not since I drank out of it. But if you were dying of thirst in the desert, this would look pretty good and you would value it very highly. It would be more valuable than diamonds, for instance, because what good would diamonds be for you if you were dying of thirst? In the siege of Samaria that we read about in the Bible, in 2 Kings, when the army had the army that was opposed to Israel was surrounding the city of Samaria, that the siege of this army trying to starve out these people lasted so long that a donkey's head sold for 80 shekels of silver. Now, many of us have been quite hungry in life, but we've never been so hungry that we'd look at a donkey's head and get and salivate, right? You know, we wouldn't have that kind of value placed on that. What is the value of a birthright? In the Bible, we're often talking about a spiritual birthright, and the story of Jacob and Esau was over the birthright, and birthright often included a double portion of the inheritance. In Genesis 25, when Esau came in from hunting, he was famished, and he smelled this lentil stew that Jacob was making. He said, I have to have some of that. And Jacob said, well, sell me your birthright. And Esau sold it to him for a bowl of lentil stew and some bread. And the Bible says, so Esau despised his birthright. He ate and drank and got up and left. Didn't care about it. Esau didn't value his birthright. We've been given a spiritual birthright today, and we have to value it. What is the value of church, of Sunday worship? How would you value that? From the time of baptism, that's been a spiritual birthright of yours. And hopefully when you were old enough and you were religiously responsible, and the church usually thinks that's around 12 years of age, or a little bit older perhaps, you made a profession of faith. You said, I am trusting in Jesus Christ as my Savior, and you became a communicant member. Been your birthright to learn the scriptures from Sunday school teachers and pastors. The Bible teaches that worship is a time to meet with God, the God of heaven. And in worship, we come to Mount Zion. And so we're to have a high view of what we hear. We're not to refuse the one who speaks. And we're, of course, not talking about a pastor, but we're talking about the Word of God that comes in the book of Hebrews. Just ahead of this teaching of heavenly of worship where we connect with heaven, we read in verse 16, see that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Back in the 1980s and 90s, perhaps some of you will remember, this church had opportunity to hear some Presbyterian evangelists and Reformed evangelists. They were itinerant preachers. And much like the preachers that brought about the Great Awakening in the 1700s, that would go up and down the eastern seaboard and preach in various towns. And in doing so, they would often preach the same sermon. And so the preachers that we had here, I still remember some of those sermons. They were very powerful. And I asked the evangelist one night, I said, that sermon was amazing. I said, how many times did you preach that sermon before? And he said, that was my 74th time. And the morning sermon was 56. Now, most preachers don't get that kind of opportunity, but if I could preach a sermon for 50 times, I think I could get it pretty good, of course, with God's help. But the preaching of these men was a unique blessing. I don't even know if you could do it today because, well, you know, with YouTube and recordings and churches keeping track of it, you know, lots of times if you'd have a sermon like that, it would just be communicated all over the world. But it was a very special opportunity. And so I invited one person in the neighborhood to hear the preacher that was with us and talked about it to him and how good it was. And he said, I wouldn't walk across the street to hear it. So he had a very low value of what I thought had a very high value. It's our spiritual birthright to inherit the kingdom of God. And so what value do you put on the kingdom of God? The king, and when you think about the kingdom of God, the king is Jesus, right? And when you refer to him as Jesus Christ, you're using a title. Christ means Christos, in the Greek means anointed one. You're referring to him that he is Jesus, a king. He's a king in your life. And the kingdom of God is that which Jesus rules. The Bible says he rules right now in the hearts of his people. And someday his kingdom will come in all its fullness, and sinners will be removed. There will be no more sin. And those who believe in them, in him, their lives will be cleaned up. There will be no curse on sin. There will be no sickness. There will be no death. It will be a different world. And now we look at the kingdom of God, and what we see with our eyes might appear to be rather insignificant. In verses 31 to 33, Jesus gives us a parable of the mustard seed. And the point of these two parables is that it takes faith to value the kingdom of God. To rightly value the kingdom of God, it takes faith. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Remember, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven are interchangeable. And when we read Matthew's gospel, he prefers to use the kingdom of heaven. Okay, where heaven rules, all right? Kingdom of heaven, or God, is like a man who plants a mustard seed in his field. And he goes on to say, though it's the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it's the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. Now, if you look at his word scientifically and you say, you know, there's a smaller seed in the world today we know about, the Bible's not true. That's not how Jesus is talking here. He's talking to people that would plant mustard as a condiment, and they plant in their garden, and it would be a very small seed. And it would be the small seed that they would make use of. And as we look at the mustard seed illustration here, he said it's the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it becomes the largest of the garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. If you've ever planted a garden, I'm always amazed when we plant those seeds to think what's going to come from it. I remember the first time planting with my parents. We planted a garden back in those days, and that's where most of our vegetables came from. My mother was a canner, and we canned the produce. And so I can remember helping plant garden for the first time when I was quite young, and thinking about these seed packs and thinking about tomatoes. You're looking at the picture, and you plant these little seeds. How could that be? But here we have the mustard seed being planted, and the result is this real tall tree from this real little seed. And Jesus is saying here that this is an illustration of the kingdom of God. He goes on to give another parable with a similar idea. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. Now, the translations, the newer ones today, are starting to work with the amount. This time, this translated half a bushel. That's translated differently at this point with newer translations. But we're talking about a woman making bread. Kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed it into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. So it's not these little yeast packets you buy in the store, if you've watched somebody make bread or make it yourself, but it's a starter that of leaven that's from another batch. But it's a very small amount, of yeast or leaven, which would be the more accurate interpretation. And the woman moves it, works it into a large amount of dough. One of the translations translated as 60 pounds of flour. Now I try to picture that, what that would look like. You know, I think like a 10-pound sack of flour, like five of those, put some water in it. You know, this lady is not making bread for the house. This is a baker. And if you go to Israel today, there are people selling bread on the street, these long loaves and really good bread. And I'm sure they've been doing that since ancient times in the marketplace. And here's someone working with a big batch of dough and putting in this leaven. And it worked all through the dough. Now, usually in the Bible, leaven or yeast is a picture of sin. But here it says the kingdom of heaven is like yeast. In other words, that is a picture of how the kingdom of heaven is working. So here's the deal. Our temptation as we look at things is to have this this valuation based on what we can see. But there's stuff happening that we can't see. The growing of the mustard seed, the working of the leaven through the bread. Now we can use photography to slow everything down, see it work a little bit. We can put it under a microscope today and see some activity. But in this time, of course, all this is hidden. And it's a great picture of for us to realize that we can't despise, as the Bible says, do not despise the day of small things. That's the lesson here. You know, if you're in a Sunday school class and you've only got two kids there, one of those kids might turn out to be, or maybe both, might turn out to have benefits to the whole church or blessings and in families that you'll never know about. And you need to work with the small things here. And so, you know, we tend to look at things and we get discouraged. I know I can do that. And both parables steer God's servants away from a defeatist outlook. You know, a defeatist where we think, you know, nothing comes of this and so forth. And what we have to remember is the hidden growth factor, that there's stuff happening and will happen that we won't even see, we won't have any awareness of. But that's how God's kingdom works. And God's kingdom will prevail. That's a good message. God's kingdom will prevail. It's going to win out. And so Jesus gives us some more parables to think about the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven in verse 44 is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. So here's somebody hired to work the field. And in those days when you had a treasure, and where would you put it? You didn't have a safe that was bolted to the floor. How would you keep it, say, where it would be kept away from thieves? Well, they would hide it in the ground. And of course, you'd have to write it. If you had my memory, you'd have to write down where you put it. But you know, it might be hidden. It would be hidden otherwise. And you know, as time came where you would die, you might pass that information on to your heir or heirs, or maybe an army would come in and take away the person who lived at that residence, as it happened often in ancient time, or someone might die of a stroke or die suddenly, and that information might be lost. And here's somebody who is hired to work that field, and in his digging around, preparing the ground, he found that treasure, probably in a jar, a clay jar. And he found it, he opened it up, and here was the treasure. What does he do? He puts it back in the ground and he covers it up. He doesn't tell anybody. He doesn't tell the owner. And he goes and he sells everything he has. So he can buy that field because he knows there's a treasure there. And this is a picture of the gospel. The gospel is a treasure. Again, verse 45, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. So here's a pearl merchant. And in his trade now, he's found the one that is the best he's ever seen. It is a crown jewel, the pearl of great price. And he has to have it. And so what does he do? He sells everything he has. He sells everything he has to buy the pearl of great price. So what is the message of these two parables? The message of the parables is that the kingdom of God is going to cost you, and it may cost you everything. But that's okay, because it's a greater treasure. And then next we have this picture of the dragnet. Kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. And when it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. And they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come, separate the wicked from the righteous, and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We might look at our valuation of the kingdom of heaven and realize that it's super important. In fact, it's going to determine our eternal destiny. Jesus gave this picture that the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God is like commercial fishing. And the disciples, of course, were into commercial fishing. They did not take their rod and reel and sit back on the bench of the boat and relax. They were busy working with the nets. And if you've ever held a net, maybe you were seining bait fish, as a lot of boys have done. I've done it. We didn't have a bait shop by the river, part of the river we were at, and on the Vermilion River, and so we would seine a creek, and then when you got done, you could pull the leeches off your legs and get your bait fish. But once you were pulling the net along, you would feel the fish hit the net. And maybe the big creek chubs would hit the net. You'd feel that. Well, all kinds of fish are being caught, and they're pulled up, and then the fishermen have to sort. The fishermen sort the fish. And the good fish are collected in baskets, but the bad fish are thrown away. The bad fish are thrown away. Now, remember last week I said, you know, you could make the a problem for yourself if you overthink the parables, right? You might look at the parable and say, well, hey, you know, the good fish are going to be eaten, you know? Bad fish are going to be thrown away. What's the difference? Well, here's the idea. The good fish are collected. They're valued. And that's as far as you take it in your thinking. Okay, so we're collected. We're valued if we belong to Christ. But the angels will separate the wicked from the righteous, Jesus said, at the end of the age. So when's that going to happen? At the end of time. And these other interpretations where people are going to be taken out secretly and so forth, that doesn't square with all the other passages of Scripture, including this one. We have Jesus in verse 50 talking about hell once again. Where this is how it'll be the end of the age. The angels will come, separate the wicked from the righteous, and throw them into the fiery furnace, or there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't like to talk about hell, as I mentioned last week. But the reason I do is because Jesus believed in hell. Jesus taught there is a hell. And he knows way more about it than I do. And I don't want anybody to go there. You know, so take this warning seriously. Hell is not a party place. It's pictured as a fiery furnace. And with the people there, it's not like everybody's telling jokes. People are weeping and gnashing their teeth or grinding their teeth. Not a place you'd want to be forever and ever. And the warning, it's a repetition of what Jesus has already said in verse 42. And he repeats himself so we don't forget it. And verse 51, he asks this question, have you understood all these things? And his disciples said, yes. And I hope you could do the same today. You understand? Parable of the net, the mustard seed, the leaven, the pearl, the treasure. Do you understand it? It's pretty simple. I think you would say, yes, I do. And he said to them, verse 52, therefore every teacher of the law has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven. It's like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. So a teacher of the law instructed about the kingdom of heaven. We have in the Bible teachers of the law that were often opposed to Jesus. But here, this teacher of the law has been instructed about the teaching of Christ. And that is a picture of who you are if you're a properly trained disciple. And what the church is trying to do with every individual is to make disciples who will be able to share from Scripture, the gospel, to share from Scripture. And Jesus said, that teacher of the law has been instructed about the kingdom. It's like the owner of a house who brings out of the storeroom new treasures as well as old. So as you read the Bible, you can bring out the treasures of the Old Testament, and the new, of course, would be from Christ onward, bringing out the treasures of the New Testament. First year I was in Philadelphia, my wife took care of the lady that lived in a house where we lived. That was part of our pay, and vacuumed and cleaned and made dinners, and we watched over her and whatnot. And she would, when our relatives would come to visit, maybe three times while we were there, we had different people stop through. And we had also her relatives would come. She would get out her jewels. She had a big jewelry collection. It kind of made us nervous, you know, in regard to, you know, some of the people that she would get these out for. It was like, you know, but she had to show them off. Look what she had, you know. She'd show off her jewelry. Well, this is what we're to do. We're to show the treasures of the gospel to people that need it. And we're not to just keep it to ourselves. That's what we're to be doing. Therefore, every teacher of the law has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. And so Jesus uses parables for believers to bring listeners to the point of decision. Now, responsibilities are varied, and responsibilities on you, the listener. To take these home, to learn, to teach, to share with others. We look through this listing of parables, and we have to conclude that no matter the difference, indifference, or the opposition to the kingdom of God, however people look at it, it's going to advance, and someday God's kingdom will come and rule this earth. And in the meantime, we must think God's thoughts after Him. We're not to feel defeated by negative responses to the gospel, because there will certainly be some. And we're not to despise the day of small things. We're to highly value the kingdom of God. We're to keep working in His harvest field and pray to the Father as we do, your kingdom come, your will be done. And to Christ, come Lord Jesus, come quickly. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the words of Christ. Help us to bring these lessons home and to be that teacher of the law of the kingdom of heaven that Christ puts before us here at the end. And we pray in His name, amen.